Abba Father, we welcome your presence here. We are so thankful that we have this technical bridge here that we can meet from a number of states and come together before you to talk about creativity and how your Ruach breathes life through us and to us. And I ask that you would guard and keep this connection, that you would command your angels concerning us, that there not be any kind of interference. I ask that you would work in the hearts and the minds of all who are with us and those who would be listening to us later by recording, and that your presence and your truth would speak as you have on other of these telephone gatherings. Yeshua, please be with Jan. She has so much in her heart to share and so much that you have worked through her hands. I ask that you would direct her and direct us so that we complete what you have directed for us to accomplish during this time. It is with joy and with thanksgiving that we pray these things in our Messiah's name, Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Well, Jan has been with us on our teleconferences from the beginning. And if I just tell a little bit of the history, Jan?
That's fine. Go ahead.
We met at what we call the Hurricane Conference, Messianic Israel Alliance in Orlando at the time. And I had only reserved a few days because I didn't think I was staying for the whole conference. And then, of course, with the hurricane coming through, this particular hotel gave rooms to the line workers and the people that would be coming in to clean up the damage. So I was homeless, and Jan allowed me to come and share her room and gave me one of her praise banners as a gift along the way. And we've been connected ever since. Now she's been continually working on various types of praise banners. She lives down in Texas, and or over, depending on where you live. And then she's also been working on a spiritual creativity devotional. So having given you that kind of a background, I'll just let you say hello, Jan, and tell us a little bit about what you're thinking we will be talking about today.
Well, this morning, I woke up, I set my alarm so to make sure I woke up on time, and I set it quite early, and I woke up, and I thought, well, I've got a little time, I'll just lay here, and I began to have a dream, and in this dream, I had been somewhere, and we have this thing called park and ride here, I don't know if you all have them where you are or not, mm-hmm. but you can park your car, buy a ticket, and then you can take a bus to any part of the city, that way you don't have to contend for parking and all that kind of thing. Well, I was on my way home, and I went to this park and ride, and I bought my ticket. And as I was in line, I lost the ticket. And then I realized, what am I doing? I'm wanting to go home, and if I leave my car here, I'm not going to have any way to get home. It was really a crazy dream. And so after I woke up, you know, I started to really ask Father, I said, well, what did this have to do with today? And I felt like it had to do with the fact that so many times, through the influence of others, through a direction maybe our churches are taking back when we were in the church days, or even in our congregations today, that many times there's a move of the Holy Spirit to move in one direction, and sometimes we get caught up in that thinking that's the purpose for our life, and that's the purpose we have in the kingdom, when in fact it is the wrong ticket. It's the wrong place. And so I began to search for my car, and I've heard others say that cars and dreams often represent ministry. And so I went back looking for the true ministry, and that was really kind of a very appropriate lead-in to what Abba's done with me in my whole creative life. Because back when I started the praise banners, that was the focus of the little church that I was in at the time. And I so desperately needed some way to express the healing process that I was going through, the growing spirituality that I had. And being in that little congregation and having people who were involved with the praise banners was just a natural fit for me, and it started to move me into this whole move of creativity. Now, I don't know if you all read the little thing that Barb sent out, but over the years it's become very clear to me that most creativity that we as humans get involved in is full of techniques and mindsets and boxes of men. But as a true creative spirit, which I believe we all are, and I think there's artists in every one of us, we're just created different for different purposes. I truly believe that as we grow in our relationship with Him, we begin to set aside those techniques. Not that we don't use them to do whatever He wants us to do, but we begin to set those techniques aside and really begin to strive to be free in Him in that creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way that we can do that is through a very deep and personal relationship with Him. I used to get, in the very beginning, and I still often do, I was fortunate to be in a little church that the pastor was an awesome psalmist. He would get alone with the Holy Spirit, and he would just stay in that place with Him for hours, and he would come back with new songs, and they were songs of vertical worship. So we used to spend a lot of time in vertical worship, not so much the praise stuff that we see so often. And it was during that time that I would often get visions. And in the beginning, I used to feel guilty. I'm thinking, you know, what am I doing here, you know? I should be putting my focus on Him. And then I heard some teaching. I don't even know for sure, I remember who, but how inspiration comes in the midst of worship.
Mm-hmm.
Because all your earthly, you know, boundaries are taken down, and now you're just in this vertical place of peace. And I mean, I would literally feel so close to Him and then begin to see these designs.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very awesome. I did the best I could sometimes to replicate them, of course. You know, you never get to completely replicate what's in your head.
That is the next piece that happened for you then, is not just the inspiration and the vision, but then bringing it into a physical reality.
Right.
Yeah.
And very often you would start off, I would start off with this impression of what the design would be. But then once I gave myself over to the Holy Spirit and allowed Him to drive my hands, if you will, very often that design would take a turn.
Mm-hmm.
And it would end up being very close to the original vision, but being yet totally different.
Mm-hmm.
And it would mean one thing to me, because He would give me scripture basis for the design. There were things that I learned about numbers and what they mean and the colors and symbols and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it would have one meaning to me, but I never sold anything in the early days, and I have sold very few pieces. Usually when the pieces have been sold, they've been sold to earn money to give to another ministry. So I've never, you know, that's not part of my gift to keep funds that He gives me. That may change someday in the future, but right now that's still the case.
Okay. Having given that kind of a background, I just want to jump in and say
okay.
that we would like to open this for conversation or questions that people have, and we would just ask that you say your name as you kind of find a place to jump in, and then go ahead and ask the question, and we'll see what Jan has to say on that. Also, I wanted to just do a reminder. I don't remember if everybody was on. We're having some trouble with the mute button. Theoretically, the way the instructions are, you should be able to just hit 6, and it will mute any sound coming from your direction, but you can still hear us. But Marilyn just tried it, and it knocked me out. So, and this happened on our last call, too. So all I did was hit the 6, and it brought me back in again. So if that happens to you, you know what to do.
Okay.
All right. You know, I was going to start, Jan, by asking you to explain a little bit more about what you had written there. And, you know, you did exactly just that, and I didn't even have to ask.
Oh, okay.
The only part I would maybe ask a little bit, if you could do a little more on that last part of it, the true walk of the kingdom artist, is to seek freedom from those earthly, bondages, and to experience their view of creativity through the Ruach HaKodesh. Now, we've been talking a lot about banners and flags that we wave in worship, and yours are a little bit different than that, although some of them can be used that way too.
Right.
So can you explain what you mean by freedom from earthly bondage and experience the view of creativity through the Ruach?
Okay. And just in my own walk, initially I started off with little, people call them worship rings, some people call them glory hoops. There were little handheld banners that you could wave during worship.
I think we call them tambrés.
Yes. I mean, they're called any number of things depending on what part of the country you're from and how they're being used in the congregations. Mine were prophetic in the fact that they always took a scripture and displayed that scripture in visual form. And they were more, we used them a lot during times of combined intercession and worship. And then as time went along, I got into doing some flags like Teresa, you know, not necessarily the painted ones, but mine always had to do with color and things like that. And now the work has moving into what they call art quilts. And it's, we get so many mindsets, even in the body of Messiah, about what art is. And that is part of the boxes that we get into. When I started off in the little glory hoops, you know, the only, you know, I was taught in those days that the only form of, quote, banners that you could make, whether they were the large ones that you, you know, marched down the aisle during worship, were made out of sequins and highly decorative material. They had to be glitzy and, you know, that was the only acceptable form of banners. And then, you know, then flags started to become popular, and people were painting, you know, using silk material to paint these designs on these banners. Again, this was another form, but this was another box. You know, this was only acceptable. And over the years, Father's beginning to show me that all his creativity goes out in many directions. Some people write, some people sing songs, some people write songs, some people have a gift of hospitality, which is an artist's gift. It's a gift of creativity in that you can call someone into your home and make them feel so comfortable that you're able to let your light of Yeshua flow over into them and touch their lives. And it's that kind of freedom to get away from what these boxes are that we've created for ourselves on what is, what makes religious art, you know, Christian art can only be religious art, or, you know, there's just umpteen million boxes out there. And when you begin to loosen yourself from that and start really seeking Him and what it is that pleases Him in how you use your gift, then you begin to see different things in the terms of what you're going to do. I'll give you an example. There was a lady in our congregation that had a, she was, she served a place as a secretary and a coordinator for this congregation for a long time, and she developed cancer. And the Holy Spirit put on my heart to do a prayer shawl for her, but it wasn't in the strict sense of prayer shawls as we know of them, you know, where they're white and they have the blue stripes or whatever. This was made out of fabric that was done in colors of her taste, and I had to trust in the Holy Spirit what that those colors were. You know, He showed me the background was black. That was the darkness of her cancer, but there were these gorgeous rose-colored flowers all over it, and that color represents the heart of flesh, and there was these gorgeous green leaves. It was a very beautiful Asian fabric. And in the inside, he had me to use coordinating green fabric, and I've learned over the years that green means resurrection, new life. He had me, he gave me all these wonderful scriptures about how He's our rock and our refuge and how He's going to heal us and all this. And I put all those scriptures in different little motifs all in the inside of this. I put beaded fringe on it. But the most exciting part was, I got to send it to her anonymously because she needed to understand that this was a gift from her Father, because He knew where she was and He wanted her to know that He was there and His word was there to give her comfort. And the object was for her to wrap herself up anytime that that situation got to be over. She could wrap that word around her and be wrapped up in His word, whether, you know, it was really physical or spiritual.
That's a beautiful picture, Jan.
Yeah, it really is.
So, you know, that is a difference in the way that we get into thinking that our art or whatever gift we have that he wants to use can only be used in a, quote, acceptable way. If we will give him the freedom to guide us, to hear his heart, he is going to use us in our gifts to touch others so that they can see that he loves them as much as we know he loves us. And that's how my artwork has expanded and grown. So I don't always know what way it's going to go. Right now I'm doing what they call art quilts. I'm working on a piece right now for a Native American pastor and his wife, and this couple is very dear to my heart, and this is going to be a piece to honor them for all the years that they've given, all the persecution that they've gone through and stuff, because they love Yeshua so much that they want to reach their people. So it's going to be a combination there's some Messianic symbols in there, and they understand that, and there's also, it has a Native American flavor because that's what their culture is. And they have used that culture to lead their people to Yeshua. And it's an honor to be able to work on this piece. And it's given me a lot of joy, and I get so much, it's just evolving as I work on it. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing things with this piece I've never done any before. Mm-hmm. I've gone to classes, and I've learned the techniques, and now he's taking those techniques, and he's putting them to use. But it's not about the techniques. It's not about the design. It's not about the piece itself. It's about the heart of the Holy Spirit that he wants to impart back to them, that he knows what they've been through. He knows of their faithfulness, and he's going to honor them in that.
I'm just thinking, Deborah, you probably experienced something similar to this with the music that he gives you. Is anything Jan saying sparking a thought in you?
Yes, definitely, with my music. Are you there?
I'm here.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
We're listening.
We're listening.
Well, I had prayed for a new keyboard because my other one had broken, and I don't play keyboard, but I do now. My father bought a keyboard for me that has all kinds of neat stuff on it, and like rhythm section and different horns and flutes and violins and all kinds of things on it. It's really great. And I prayed, and I had said that, you know, I can sing. I don't know how long I'm going to be able to sing for, but as long as I can sing, to use my talent that I have for singing, and I want to write songs and stuff. So he inspired me with music, and he inspired me with words, and I am, within the last few months here, I am actually starting to do some recording on the side. It's beginning recording. It will go into a recording studio eventually, but it's all in his direction, and he chooses who he wants to be with me, to work with me, and he's an awesome yah.
Mm-hmm. You're mixing a palette of sounds and styles and rhythm, and Jan mixes the palette of what? Technique, texture, color,
fabrics, all kinds of things.
Yeah.
You know, I heard a psalmist sing one time, and I was in a particular hard place. I was going through some deep heart work at that time. But, you know, she was able to put into words what I wanted to say, but I couldn't find the words.
Mm-hmm.
So, in many ways, you're giving people the opportunity to sing along with your music, to even listen with your music, and be able to relay back to Abba that this is how I feel. She's put the words of my heart into words that I can sing back to you.
Yeah. And there's another gal in our community also that has started writing some songs too, or writing the words for songs, and she has given them to me, and yes, there are some words that need to be changed in it to fit some music, but it's gelling. I prayed for someone to give me words, too, because I didn't have the words to express everything either, And now this young lady is doing so, and it's working out very well.
Mm-hmm. Jan, what happens for you with collaboration on your art projects? Does that usually work that way, or is it pretty much individual?
A lot of the time it's individual, but there have been projects. There was a project that came to mind. We had a lady at work who is a very integral part of our company, and she had developed cancer in her jaw. She went through chemo, and she came through it. Of course, we prayed for her all the time that she was going through this treatment. And she came through, and the cancer was eradicated. So to celebrate that, I just felt like Abba put it on my heart to do a gift for her, a gift of celebration. And what came to mind was a quilt. And I ended up traveling to Seattle to find the very fabric that he gave me a vision for. That's another whole story. I came back, and basically I put out a call for anyone and anyone who wanted to be part of this to come together. And there was about, I don't know, there was about 12 to 14 of us. I don't remember exactly how many. I helped people make individual blocks. We hand-painted them. And they were in a southwestern design because that was her design in her home, and this was to be for her to take home. Anyway, we put that quilt together, and it flowed from the beginning to the end. One gal came over, and her gift was to make polymer clay buttons. She had done a lot of that work, and so she made the polymer clay buttons that we used to tie it off with, and I did some polymer clay jugs and just different things, but it was a collaborative effort from beginning to end. And I can tell you from the comments that I got back from the people that it blessed them just as much to be a part of that work as it did her to receive that gift of love. So it depends. You know, there's been times when it's been a collaborative effort and it's just flowed, and then there's been other times when it's been a totally independent. And I think we just need to be open to the Holy Spirit to take that direction. We don't need to be afraid of collaboration either.
Mm-hmm. Because we've been in our local community, this is Barb, talking about spiritual gifts and being able and willing to recognize and let them be expressed mm-hmm. without hindering. That, I think, is part of what you're talking about.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is Marilyn. I was thinking the same thing, is I'm not putting God in that box mm-hmm. and really saying he, whatever he chooses to do in me, he can do.
Mm-hmm.
And despite whatever natural talents or despite what my flesh thinks, he can go beyond that, and just opening ourselves up to that. And what you're saying, Jan, I think just fits in with it's the work of the Ruach,
mm-hmm.
not the fact that you're an artist or
right.
that Deborah is a musician. It's his work in each one of us and what he desires to do. So, yeah, what you're saying, it just fits so much in what Set Apart Ministries that we're doing that spiritual gift study right now.
He wants to take what we offer him in service, not as a sacrifice, but as in love. And so many of us were taught in the church that we sacrifice. That isn't what he wanted. He never has asked for our sacrifice. He's asked for our heart. And if we give our heart to him in whatever we do, whether it's making a quilt or singing a song or whatever our gift is, it could be anything. It could be writing. It could be anything. That love for him is going to come through, and it's going to touch people. And it's interesting how it touches one person in one way and another person in another. But see, that's his ability as a Holy Spirit to go out creatively through a surrendered vessel and be able to touch many hearts in many different ways.
Mm-hmm. Jan, this is Barb. I think a lot of people might hear the kind of things you're saying, particularly your comment about I traveled to Seattle to find the fabric, and I'm thinking that a lot of response might be, oh, wow, I could never do that. What would you say to that person?
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because I was at a, I used to go, I've been going to the International Quilt Show here in Houston for years and years and years, and one day I was, we got sent on a prayer assignment one year, and Abba just told us to look at each of the quilts, where they were from, and you could tell the influence from that city by that quilt, because some of them were full of demonic presence, you know, darkness, and others were full of life. And he said to take and pray over the cities where we saw the darkness, and just pray that his presence wouldn't be known among the people in that city. And that was the prayer. That was just it. So we walked through, and I was with a prayer partner, and we were praying that. And he said, you know, and I was just standing there admiring these awesome quilts, and there was one especially, and I said, you know, that is so beautiful, Lord. I wish I had the skill to do that. And he said, you will one day. And I said, and I laughed, and I said, yeah, right. Yeah. And on a small scale, what I do is some of that same kind of thing, and I'm beginning to learn that it's not about us and what we can do. It's about him and what he can do through us. You know, he has brought me to a place. That particular piece of fabric, I was on a vacation with my daughter when we found that fabric. So if your eyes and ears are open to the leading of the Holy Spirit, you can do anything through him. It's all through him anyway.
Yeah, amen.
So to say you can't do anything, no, that's doubt and unbelief. You can do whatever he calls you to do, and he gives you accordingly.
Ah, doubt and unbelief. We're familiar with that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How did you move in that direction, Jan? You know, from doubt to the belief. I mean, what was the process that you went through?
Well, in the beginning, it was probably my background has been not a good one. I came from a very dysfunctional family. I was in a 21-year bad marriage. Was full of doubt and unbelief and fear. I could believe the scriptures for anybody but myself. And I really can't point back to any one thing. All I can say is it's been a process where he started me off with my first little banner. He gave me the design. He led me through the whole process, and when I got done, I couldn't believe that from these hands something so beautiful could have been created. And that was the beginning of that walk. One time he asked me to do put a crown of or a throne of grace on a banner. I had no clue. I had some art ability, but I'd never been able to take art classes, and so he just said, we're going to sit down and draw this out. And so I put a pencil in my hand, put it to the paper, and I let him guide my hands, and he drew it. And it's just been through those kind of experiences over and over again that as I've walked out, whatever part of my walk has been where I had to rely on him, that is what put the doubt and unbelief behind me. Because as I've seen him do things, then I've got to the place where I know he can do it. Now, I'm not going to say I never have doubt and unbelief, because I'd be lying if I do. But I've learned that when I start seeing that crop up, then I have to press in him and say, okay, how are we going to do this? Because I know it isn't going to be done on my part. And I have to believe that he has a purpose for me. And sometimes when you're in a very lonely place like I've been, it becomes very difficult to believe that he's still there. But that's where you have to have the word deep in your heart. You have to have a basis for the Holy Spirit to draw a foundation, is what I want to say, to draw upon, so he can say, but in my word have not I said. And you need good, strong spiritual sisters in the Lord to help you in that path, or brothers in the Lord, whoever he puts in your path. It's not a journey that we take alone. Mm-hmm. It's one that we help each other to do. And sometimes we have the doubt and unbelief and don't see it, and it takes others to point it out. So it's a process. It's not an event.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I answered that.
Yeah, well, this is Marilyn again. So you feel, I mean, what I'm hearing is that he met you where you were at
exactly.
That point. and moved you little by little till you're making these beautiful, beautiful things, banners. And
by the way, you can see a couple pictures of them on our website in the Creativity Corner.
And they're going farther than anything I've ever done before. I'm getting into beadwork and embroidery work and just different things. And at first I thought, I can't do this. But, you know, again, it's not about what we can or can't do. It's what he'll do through us if we'll just surrender.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of that breaking free. Yeah. That I talk about. You got to believe that he can do. The word says we can do all things in Yeshua, and we can. But we have got to believe that.
So it's an act of obedience on your part, also.
Yes,
hearing
obedience
him
is definitely part of
and
it,
and following through.
Jan, this is Barb again. Right along with the obedience and the following through, I'm thinking, I know that you've had to take special action to make time and room in your life
mm-hmm.
to carry these things out. Can you make any observations about that? Because I have a feeling other people have the vision and the urge, but they too don't know how to make the time and the space.
It's been hard. I have had to work full time, and when I come home from work at night, I'm not very creative, believe me. But we have to make choices. We have to make choices whether we're going to come in and sit down and turn the TV on, or we're going to come sit down and maybe work 15 minutes on something. It's about priority. It's about being in tune with the Holy Spirit, because maybe he doesn't want you to work on it. You know, there's a balance in there where you have to learn to take care of your physical body as well. And so there have been times when I have desired more than anything to be working on a piece, but physically I have not had the stamina nor the strength to do so. So I had to take care of that need and take care of my body. I recently just was diagnosed with diabetes, and so there's some life changes that I've had to make. And I had to put some of my work aside for a couple of weeks while I worked on a couple of those things. So it's all a matter of priorities and making the choices. You know, we all say we don't have time to do things, but we have all the time in the world. You know, because he can do in 15 minutes what, you know, through him, I've literally made a banner in less than 45 minutes. And it was amazing just to watch my hands flow, because I knew it wasn't me, it was him.
Uh-huh.
So we can do anything he calls us to do if we will just give in. It's just a matter of choice, you know, a matter of priority.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is Barb again. I know that sometimes the inspiration comes. For me, it's usually writing these days. Mm-hmm. The inspiration comes, and I can't not do it. I have
right.
to do it and get it out of my head at that point. But there are also other times when there's a more long-term project, and then it involves concentration.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if I am able to stay tuned mentally to what I'm doing, even though I'm doing other things physically on the outside, I can work in 15 and 20-minute stretches.
Mm-hmm.
But if I can't maintain that internal awareness, prayerfulness, concentration, then it takes a long time for me to re-enter that each time I sit down.
Right.
Is it like that for you?
Yes. And the other thing, too, in the very beginning, There is this thing about when we get in that flow, we don't want to quit. We want to just keep going. In fact, my granddaughter, who's only, she'll be 9 next month, she was saying, when I get started with this stuff, Grandma, I don't want to quit. And I said, well, that's because that's the artist call in you. And you do. You forget to eat. You forget to do things. You're focused. You know, you want to stay with it. But there's also a thing that comes with taking any gift that he gives us and developing it, you know, in a deeper and deeper level as we go along, where he may cause us to take a year or two to get through something. And it's like you say, you have to keep it there in your mind, but you also have to recognize that that flow comes when he desires it to come.
Mm-hmm.
So part of it is being focused, like you said, and keeping that on your head, so when you sit down, you can actually do something
And the other thing is recognizing that we don't do these things on our timetable, but we do them on his.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes he causes the project to last for a long time because in and through that process, he's going to teach us many deep things.
Uh-huh. We've been talking in the spiritual gift study about differentiating between talent and spiritual gifts. Is that something that you think about?
Yeah. I'm not really sure. I myself really am not sure where you draw the line through those two things.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen people with talent that can sit down and draw a picture of anything, but their work is full of death. And yet I've seen someone else who may not have as gifted of it, or, you know, is not as, quote, talented, but they've taken what they have as a gift and they've allowed the Holy Spirit to use it.
Mm-hmm.
And even though the work may not be at the same level, the light in that work is way beyond.
Light and the meaning, yeah. Mm-hmm. We were talking about that, that sometimes he sanctifies talents, and sometimes mm-hmm. he gives the specific gifting for a time and a need.
Right.
But it would sound like the talent, you know, exceptional talent done in darkness creates darkness.
It does. There was a painting in Seattle. We were going to a coffee house every morning for breakfast because we were staying in a hotel. And we would just stop there and get a cup of coffee. And there was this one painting on the wall, and it was just full of vibrant color. And to the casual observer, it would look as though it had life in it. But there was something about that painting that just didn't set in my spirit. And so my daughter was getting her coffee one morning, and I was sitting there looking at this painting, and I just finally said, "Father, what is it about this painting that disrupts my spirit so?" And he said, "Focus on all the lines in the painting." And I started to see faces of demons.
Ooh.
And they were so cleverly mixed in with the colors that if you really didn't focus on each of the lines, you wouldn't even see them.
Wow.
And the Lord spoke to me. He said, even though this man has a talent and a gift that I've given him, he's driven in his work by the demons that possess him.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's talents and gifts, I think, are very closely related, but like you say, they can either be used to express darkness, and sometimes it's even a deception of darkness, too. Sometimes it's not that obvious, like that painting.
Mm-hmm. Jan, the use of your banners that are intricate with designs that people would, you know, spend time looking at to understand, can you describe how you see that as an aspect of spiritual growth or maybe warfare, and compare that to the use of flags and banners in active dance, per se? I didn't ask you that ahead of time, so I'm just bringing that on, you know.
Okay. It was interesting because I think, again, this goes back to my dream this morning. When I first started in this, I was very active in intercession, worship, warfare, that kind of thing. And most of the symbols that we used on these banners were, I would call them more religious symbols, in that they were just more warfare-ish kind of things. You know, they were making proclamation. Before I went to Israel, I was sitting there one day, and the Lord just gave me a vision, and he was showing me these wall hangings. And it was at that point in time, and I didn't understand it at the time. I thought I was still going to be doing these same kind of banners, you know, with pictures of, you know, the lamb and these kind of things on them, the Christian symbols that I had always done in the past. And it was at that point that I was beginning to learn about Torah and Ephraim and Judah and the whole thing. And he said one day I would make these wall hangings to hang in people's homes. And I assumed that they were going to be little banners, you know, for some kind of home church or something. I don't know. as I've gotten, you know, back, I did a little bit of that after I returned to Israel, but that all kind of just dried up. There wasn't the venue for it anymore. I didn't have the opening for it, and all of a sudden, you know, I was kind of left. It wasn't even, it didn't even give me joy anymore. And that's because he wanted to move me in a different stream and a different path. Even though I use the menorah a lot in some of my designs, that menorah means something totally different to me now. Back then it would have been a religious object, and now it's representative of who my bridegroom is. He is the light of the world. He is the perfect light, the complete light. So, and now I'm moving off even in a little different direction to where I'm not necessarily going to be using just religious symbols. I never know what the designs are going to say when they're all said and done. Back in the early days, it was, you know, the banners and flags, and it was for corporate worship and that. And now, the work is taking a whole different turn, and it's more expressive of what's in my heart. You know, it's about him. It's always about him as the bridegroom and what's coming. You know, we're a watchman bride, and there's many, I know that's a phrase we throw around, but there's many aspects of that watchman bride that he's sharing with each one of us individually. Israel is a focus of my heart because that is my inheritance, just as it is all of you. But not just as a physical country, but it is as a nation that he is restoring, a kingdom that he is restoring. And so I'm not really sure what people see when they see my work anymore. I just take the design, but I know for me, the symbols that I use now are starting to get a little different, but yet they're going to speak something to someone, and I know that. And so I'm okay with that, you know. I don't want to put a box around anything. And I'm not sure I answered your question, but that's about as far as I know to go with it, I think.
Well, I think you did. Has anyone else got any thoughts about that? The Watchman Bride, you brought that up, you know, that we are being prepared. Do we see the use of banners or the creativity in particular as part of that preparation?
I think most definitely. He had me to do a purse bag for the quilt show last year, and he gave me that phrase that consecrating our gift is to Yahweh Elohim is worship, and serving him with those gifts brings a voice to the human experience. And it wasn't anything religious or anything, no spiritual symbols that people would relate to. It was just a batik bag, and I'd put some crystals on it, some glitter, but this phrase I had done in organza and put it across, and I carried it so that was visible to anyone that would look on the bag. And there were a lot of comments on the bag, a lot of people, you know, but there were people who were touched by what they saw, and you could tell the difference, because they would come up and they'd say, your bag is so beautiful, and spirit to spirit, you knew that they had received the message.
Mm-hmm. Nonverbal.
It was nonverbal, and I think that's what he's been trying to show me as my, you know, as these new pieces are developing. I may not always put a menorah on there. I may not always put something that we're familiar, but in some way and somehow, it's going to touch their experience either through the words that are put on there, the design, or something.
Expression, you know, of your heart.
It's an expression of your heart. It's an expression of your love. If we're going to serve him out of love, we got to learn the person that we love. And then ask the Holy Spirit to give us designs and inspirations that we know that are going to please him.
Mm-hmm.
And when we please him, then he touches others through that same design, color, story. You know, it may be just a table setting that you invite someone into your home, and he gives you a design for the table, and so you follow that design. You put the color tablecloth and do whatever. And when that guest comes into your home, you're doing it because you love him. He's asked you to do it, so you're assuming this is going to please him. And then when someone comes into your home, it may be such an awesome thing because it'll touch them in such a way, and you may never know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our need to have public ministry and our need to be recognized and our need to be, I don't know, whatever it is that drives the American ministry mindset, our ministry has to be to him. And we may not always be recognized, and we may not always even know how he's using whatever it is that we do. But we shouldn't care about that. And that's part of the process of becoming the Watchman Bride.
Mm-hmm.
Because the focus is not on our talent, our gifts, our ministry. It becomes a way to serve him out of the love we have for him. And even if we're done, even if it's done in secret, like that little prayer shawl that I sent, she'll never know that I made that for her. And I would, just as any other human, I would love to know how it touched her. But that's not important, because it was his gift to her, and that was a private moment between them two. And I have to be okay with that.
That's very wise.
Yeah, interesting.
Anybody have any thoughts about that? What do you think? Is your creativity coming forth possibly part of the preparation of the bride? Whether it's in table setting or design or music or writing?
Well, this is Marilyn. There's a lot of things formulating in my mind, and as Dan's talking about all this, and I just keep going back to that it is an outward expression of what is going on inside of a person, no matter what that may be. It could come in various forms, but it's the power of the Holy Spirit
exactly.
working through Jan, not only to bless her, but it blesses other people as well. And as they look at her artwork, I'm sure because the Ruach, he knows each person individually. He's going to speak to that person where they're at. And I'm just thinking that in so many other ways, how the same thing can apply, whether it's speaking words, whether it's music, whether it's writing. I don't know. We could use our imagination. There's probably many other ways.
See, I think we're all artists in our own
way. That can be experienced that is going to show the power of Yahweh Elohim and what he is trying to speak to his people, attempting to communicate.
I saw a short spot on a quilt guild up in Chicago, I think it was. And these ladies get together 2 days a year, and all they do the whole day long is they sew these small children's quilts. They use their talents and their fabric, and they make these quilts. And they do it in a rec room of a residential facility that houses children that have been either taken away from their parents because of abuse, or they've been abandoned. I'm not sure who runs the facility, but anyways, at the end of the day, those children are allowed to come into this room, and all these quilts are laid out, and they're allowed to run up and grab whichever quilt, and they don't do it out of chaos, but they come in and they go up and they pick the one they want. And this one little boy, he couldn't make up his mind because he'd never had anything of his own all of his life. And he just couldn't make a decision because they were all beautiful to him. And finally, he settled on one. You know, that is another example of an artist being led by the Holy Spirit. He touched those children that day through the loving kindness of those women. And they may not even have understood what was going on. But he's always touching us through the kind acts of others. And they're as much of an artist as anybody.
Yes. I think, Dan, you said a mouthful when you said, you know, people's need for recognition and public ministry. My summary is that it can get in the way.
Oh, yeah, because it becomes your ministry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your recognition. I have seen this so much. And when I was in, and that was partly one of the things that kind of drove me away from doing the larger banners and getting involved in the worship banner business, because there are a lot of very gifted people here in Houston, and there are several people here that, quote, have a reputation for their worship banners. But there was so much backbiting, so much competition, so much, this is my ministry, how dare you even make a suggestion to me, and that kind of attitude. And it was just like I threw my hands up and I said, well, if that's what it is, I want no part of it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So he moved me out of all of it, and I'm in this little lonely place over here just doing things. And for a while, I didn't understand. I thought, wow. But, you know,
yeah.
I wouldn't trade it for a moment.
Oh,
I mean, making
not.
A gift for a woman who made it through cancer, to let her know how much we love her and appreciate her and how glad we are she survived, that suppresses any banner that I could ever make for a church to walk down
definitely.
An aisle.
Definitely.
So I wouldn't trade it for the world. I didn't understand in the early days, and I did get my attitude adjusted quickly.
He's good at that, isn't he?
Well, he's been very good with me. I relate to that article that you sent out, Barb, the one on the last one on the prayer.
Oh, the prayer installment thing?
Mm-hmm. You know, the self-serving and the pride and the rebellion, and that has been so much of my life. And it's him leading me out of that pattern that has got me where I am today, and I'm hoping that he's not, you know... Well, I know he's not done, so I don't even have to hope that, but there's still much more work to be done, because I think that's a pattern that we develop from the time we're born, you know, and it takes his loving hand and walking us through whatever it is we walk through.
Mm-hmm. We've got about 10 minutes left, so does anybody have a question they've been waiting for an opening to jump in on? Here's your opening.
Yeah, I got a question. You say this is Deborah. You say you're starting to work on beadwork now?
Mm-hmm.
How are you progressing in that, and where did you start? How did you learn about this?
Well, and the beadwork that I talk about is putting beadwork on fabric.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in a quilt store the other day, and I happened to see this DVD on beading on fabric, and it's been something I've been interested in a while. I had tried it a couple of times and didn't have a lot of success, so I thought, wow, okay, maybe I can learn. And so I got this DVD, and she showed, I'm a visual learner and a tactical learner, and so watching this thing, this DVD, I realized how easy this is, and now this piece that I'm working on for Randy and Edith, I've got some beads that he put on my heart to buy the other day, and he's shown me how he's going to put them on this piece. So I'll let you know.
Yeah.
This is kind of my first attempt at doing this, but I'm not worried about it. He's going to show me exactly where he wants them put, and he'll guide my hands, and it'll all come out just fine.
Yeah. I've actually done a very little bit of beadwork myself, too. And sewing it on felt and then applying it to leather.
Ooh, that sounds pretty.
But I'm not real good at it. I've done, like I say, very little of it. But I have something in mind that I would like to try, too, and that would be the City of Jerusalem in beads. But
that would be fantastic. Just pray over it. Consecrate it to him and go for it, girl.
Yeah, it'll take time. Maybe after retirement, if I can make it that long. I don't know.
Well, you know, and that kind of work is something that you can do. You know, many of these, I've been reading a lot of up on a lot of the quilt artists that make these awesome contemporary quilts. Now they're actually considered fine art. Many of these women take 2 or 3 years to make these things. So just pick it up whenever you have a moment or two. Put a few beads on there.
Well, I definitely want to see yours on a picture or something when you're done with yours.
Okay. I'll send a digital picture of this particular piece to Barb, and she can put it out there.
Wonderful.
Yeah, we'll do that. Well, now we have about 5 minutes left, so I just want to take a minute to thank Jan. Appreciate your taking the time, and I know a lot of prayer went into considering what direction we might take today. So we're blessed in that. And we're going to be meeting again the end of August, and I know that Teresa Bates is intending to come back then, and I think we're going to talk about the flags and the construction probably, unless Abba leads us in a different direction. She has also been being taught what it is to be Yahweh's banner bearer, and I think in a more public way, and Jan's been being the banner bearer and the creator in a more quiet way.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward to sharing some of the things we've talked about today with Teresa and getting her take on it as well.
And see, that's the unique thing about it, is that we all have our place in the kingdom. We just have to stop trying to go to someone else's place and just find where it is he wants us to be.
Mm-hmm.
And be okay
mm-hmm.
with that.
Amen. Amen. Well, I will be putting a written summary of what we've talked about probably in the email to people. And I think, Marilyn, you've gotten pretty good at getting the audio tapes edited and
left
on the website. So this will be available there. And beyond that, I can't think of any other last-minute things. Can anybody else think of something they'd like to add?
Well, I just wanted to say thank you for allowing me to share.
Well, I just wanted to say thank you, Jan. You gave me a lot to think about today.
Yeah. Okay, Jen, would you like to close us in prayer?
Okay.
I know you usually like to.
Well, Abba Father, we just thank you for this group of ladies that have set aside their earthly responsibilities to come and just sit at your feet to listen. I pray that every word that came out of my mouth in some way brought benefit to them and in their walk with you. Father, I thank you that you are preparing us to be that watchman bride, that bride without spot or blemish, for our beloved Yeshua. I ask that you continue to work on each of our hearts, Father, showing us by your Holy Spirit the things that we still need to lay down before you at the foot of the cross, at the foot of the throne of grace. Father, I ask you to give us the strength to just be what you've created us to be, to appreciate those things that you've placed in us, to turn them around, to consecrate them to you, to give them back to you from a heart of love and not just in sacrifice, but in love and obedience. Because as we give these back to you, we worship you. It's our way of saying thank you for what you've created in me. And when we do that, then we begin to really realize the love that you have for each of us and the love that you had for us even before you knit us in our mother's womb. So, Father, we lift up your name today. Yahweh Elohim, we give you all praise and glory for the creator of the universe that you are, the master artist, the master creator. And in the name of Yeshua, our most beloved and honored Messiah, we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you, Marilyn. I'm glad you were here. And Mildred, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Thank you. And Adrienne, are you still there?
Yes, thank you. I enjoyed it so much. And there are, I have a page of thoughts and things that were said that I'll be contemplating for quite a while. Thank you.
Oh, how wonderful.
Yahweh,
forward to you live close enough that we could maybe get together as a group. Janelle and I were glad to meet your group a while back, but we'd sure be happy to get acquainted with more of you.
Okay.
Well, hopefully we'll see you ladies next month. Yeah.
That would be great. Blessings to all, and thank you very much. Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom.